Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Yeah, oh baby, yeah, wow, it is so good. It's Saturday morning, and yes, it is hot outside. Can I just tell you how freaking hot it is? I got up this morning, I said, man, I want me some eggs and bacon. I didn't even have to fire up the skillet. I just went out on my patio and fried me some eggs. My gosh, it was hot here in Indianapolis. Well, welcome to The Balance, the number one internet sports talk show in the world. And not only are we on the internet, we're on the real radio. Yeah, people actually still listen to the radio. Whew! I tell you what, though, in all seriousness, it has been, I think today it's supposed to be somewhere around 103, 104. Yesterday we were hitting 103, 104. So the dog days of summer have arrived here at the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, and it is freaking hot outside. And you know what? I don't envy those guys. You know, we're going to be down there with the Balance in Indy Pro Sports a little bit later down today down at IMS for the Grand Am testing. Of course, we know they're going to be here as part of the Kroger Speed Fest, and I do not envy them at all today. You know, they're saying that on the feet, of their feet is somewhere around 200 and some degrees. Woo! Boys and girls, I'm going to tell you, that is freaking hot. Well, guys, you know what? I tell you what, this is going to be a fun show today. Of course, every Saturday morning is a fun show, right? But no, we have a great show lined up for you today. It's a fantastic show and one of the best until next week, and then that'll be the best, and then the following week and so forth. Obviously, coming up at 9:05 here is our guys from RadioSpeedTalk.com to talk some speed, a lot of speed. And we're going to talk about some NASCAR, some IndyCar, and we're going to see what's going on out there. We're going to obviously talk in more depth about the Grand Am testing. 9:30, nice young kid we got coming up with us, Josh Timmerman, CRA Sportsman, Rookie of the Year contender. So we're really excited to talk with him. Also, guys, I know we said it last week, Grace Howe, NHRA Pro Stock driver, was supposed to be on the show, apparently. We had a bit of a time zone difference. I guess she thought we were talking about Central Time and we were talking about Eastern Time, but we got everything fixed. We got her hooked up. She's going to be here today at 9:45. 10 o'clock, second hour. Rich Nye, WTHR, our local sports guy here in Indianapolis. Going to break down some NFL, some Colts guys are going to be talking about that. And guys, I told you last week we brought back the hot joint of the week. 10:15, Mr. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. We're going to bring back the hot joint of the week. And, guys, it doesn't get any better than what's coming up at 10:30. I'm almost too excited to tell you. I think I might want you guys to hang out until like 10:20 or so, and I'll let you know what's coming up at 10:30. Guys, the fantasy football huddle preseason is underway. And we're going to break down some fantasy football. Yeah, fantasy football, guys. Fantasy football huddle. So it's going to be a great, great, great show today, guys. And I'm excited to be a part of it. You're excited to be a part of it. And I tell you what, another guy that, well, at least fakes like he's excited to be a part of it is Mr. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. He'll be right back. He's standing in. He's standing in the wings there. We got him. We got him in the wings, standing by, waiting to talk some fast cars. And we're going to talk about the Grand Am testing out there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, guys. That's right. We're getting closer and closer and closer to the Kroger Speedfest, which brings some of the fastest cars in the world right here to Indianapolis. Guys, we'll be right back. When we get back, Cliff from Radio Speed Talk, we're going to talk some racing.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
And can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's H-I-R-E. Tips.com or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
It's our country's 236th birthday, and Speed Talk is on vacation, but we come at you with a patriotic-themed show.
We talk with the founders of Wishes for Our Heroes, an organization devoted to taking care of our military heroes.
Also on the show, we talk with SiriusXM's host of Dialed In, Claire B. Lang.
And if that's not enough, we throw in Quicken Loan CEO Jay Farner.
All that on our vacation edition of Speed Talk.
And now it's time to give out the award for the least funny people in the world.
Tune in every week to hear Cliff, Kenny, and Pete.
On the song!
Keep talking.
You gotta listen to all this. They're rotting my brain.
Where's this guy been?
All right, go, Daddy, go, Daddy, go! Time to go fast here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Mark Wissell, Presidente, my minions. Welcome to the show, the one and only Mr. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. Cliff, welcome to the Balance, sir. You've been MIA for a little bit. How goes life?
Well, I tell you, man, it's been a crazy, crazy last week, man. We had them storms hit up here and up without electricity and trying to keep up on everything with no internet. I'm telling you, it's been crazy. But, hey, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm ready to talk some racing, my friend.
Well, we're ready to talk some racing. And I tell you what, though. You guys did have some serious storms up there in the Fort Wayne. In fact, we're still deciding on. I think we're going to call Pete Mr. Tornado Pete LaFuchsia. What do you think? The choices are Paul Pete or Tornado Pete.
Yeah, I was going to say yesterday I was told it was Pothole Pete. So we call it whatever you want, man. But he leaves, and you know that's where he leaves. Look what he brings with us. So.
Absolutely. And of course, you guys at Radio Speed Talk are on vacation, and I think Pete is actually in New York. At least that's what I think is where he's supposed to be. He's enjoying it. I don't know, maybe somewhere else, but where in the world is Pete? Tornado Pete, Pothole Pete, like, I said, we know one thing for sure. The Grand Ams are here in Indianapolis, and the Balance and Indy Pro Sports is going to be out there a little bit later on today to watch them do some testing. Tell us a little bit about the Grand Am series. Obviously, a brand new series here to Indianapolis, and the NASCAR coming in with the big boys, NASCAR and Nationwide. Obviously, that whole other drama about the Nationwide series being at IMS as opposed to Lucas. But we got a brand new race, and one that a lot of people are talking about. The Grand Am series is getting a lot of attention and is really one of those series that have linked up with NASCAR and have done a great job with marketing and so forth. So tell us about the Grand Am series and what's going on with them.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, they are coming down to the Brickyard for the first time, and I think it's needed. I'm telling you what, folks, if you've never watched a Grand Am race or been to one, it is exciting. I don't care what anybody says. But on top of that, you've got, five, six guys within 5 points of each other. So it is a great series. Scott Pruitt, obviously a name synonymous with Eyesight IndyCar, doing a tremendous job. And it's nice to see him come down to Indianapolis, and I hope they do a great job with it. And I'm telling you what, man, it's an exciting series to watch. It really is.
Well, tell us, we know this because we chase race cars, and you know, it's a rough job, but somebody has to do it. But we chase race cars, so we understand the different series and what goes on. But a lot of our listeners obviously listen to the show for other things than just racing, and maybe still are trying to ask themselves, why am I watching cars just go around in circles? Tell us why they should be watching the Grand Am series, and what makes it different than any of the other series?
Well, the Grand Am obviously is going to be the smaller car. They do a lot of, it's all road racing, and there's a lot of talent to it. And, to be quite honest with you, some of the turns they make, if you watch F1, you can watch NASCAR road races, you can watch whatever kind of road races you want. But these guys are dialed in, and I'm going to tell you what, they take some corners like no other car. And it's just so exciting, and hearing the whine of the engine. And I'm telling you, folks, if you've never seen a Grand Am race, you got to see it because it's just exciting. I mean, I don't know what else I can say. It's a smaller car. They're faster. They're more durable. And like I said, it's the tightest racing of any racing series we got out there right now. And, just the excitement of it and to watch. And, granted, I know some people like to go watch races because of crashes. There's not as many crashes in the Grand Am as in some other series. But the thrill of watching good driving is just amazing.
Well, and it's exciting, too. Now, one thing I want to ask you, and I honestly don't know the answer to this question, but somebody asked me this, and I thought, surely they're not going to be switching tracks around. Grand Ams are known for their road courses. They're not doing two different types of courses that weekend, are they?
No, I believe they're just doing the one type of course, from what I understand.
They're all oval. It's all oval. So they're not converting for the Grand Am. They're not converting IMS to the road course.
Oh, yes, they are. I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So they are
doing
that. Oh,
it is
okay.
Going to be the road course inside of Indy, yes. It will not be on the oval track. I apologize for that, yes.
No, that's fine, because I honestly didn't know the answer to that. Somebody mentioned that to me, and I thought, wow, that's a good question for Cliff, because – I honestly don't know. And I've never – oh, that's another first for IMS. Usually, they had it switched around on the road course of different other things, different events, but that's what it was for that weekend. It was the road course. Now they've got to switch it around from the road course back to the oval for the NASCAR guys. That's interesting. So let me ask you this real quickly before we get into some of the NASCAR talk. What kind of logistic problems does that provide for IMS as far as switching the courses? Or how hard is them for them to go from oval to the road course in a period of time?
Well, it's really – I mean, they've already got the road course designed inside Indy, as you know. I mean, obviously they're going to have to move some stuff around. And quite honestly, I really don't know what all is entailed in that other than the fact that, you got to make the road course and clear it out. And, as you know, the NASCAR boys are all down there and all their haulers are set in certain places. So I'm not sure exactly how they're going to handle it. I've never actually watched them, Tom. I can't honestly tell you that. That's probably something you need to ask IMS, to be honest with you.
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna be down there today. I'm gonna ask all kinds of questions. Well, the big boys are back at Daytona this weekend, and I tell you what, got the firecracker shootout. You got all kinds of fun stuff going out down at Daytona today. What's going on down there? Obviously, Carl Edwards is, and Kyle Busch and a lot of the guys are out there that are. And then, of course, you look at Matt Kenseth, and we'll talk about him and his possible team switch and so forth. But the big boys are there in Daytona this weekend, and you don't get any better than Daytona.
No, you don't. And the weird thing is it's been kind of quiet, but it was not without controversy in Nationwide and, you know, the Sprint Cup level. Austin Dillon took the pole from Nationwide and got it stripped because he used an illegal hose opening. And Tony Stewart had the pole for a long time until Matt Kenseth came out and took it, and that put him in second. And he has to go back to the back of the field because he did the same thing, which is kind of surprising that that would come from Tony Stewart being the reigning champ. But, you know, I guess it really doesn't matter at Daytona. As you know, you can move all the way through the field, and Tony knows how to get around that. Austin Dillon finished fourth last night, spinning out, if you can believe that. He actually got hit and went over the line backwards for fourth place. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, you're right, man. The racing is good there. Carl Edwards is pretty decent when it comes to restrictor plate, and he's looking to end his streak. And Kyle Busch definitely needs it. But, hey, Kurt Busch last night takes that team, Phoenix Racing, in the Nationwide and wins. So you can't count him out, man. He's going to be pretty tough.
Well, and it's good to see one of the Busch guys. It's like the yin and the yang between the two of them. And, you know, obviously, you've got Kyle and Kurt both, and they're brothers, and they compete. But it was good to see them out there. Obviously, we went all last week, though, Cliff, and I know you weren't on the show last week, but we went all last week without mentioning the person, the one person. But we've got to mention her. Here she comes, ladies and gentlemen, Danica Patrick. Man, she has a hard wreck out there in Daytona, huh? And I tell you what, her woes just continue to continue. And a good thing that she looks good and she can market, because she sure as heck cannot win a race. And she's having some difficulties, and obviously Daytona's never treated her well. So walk us through what happened with Danica out there at Daytona last night.
Well, I got to tell you, folks, I actually, and I hate to say this coming from me, and you know how I feel about this, Tom, but I was actually cheering for her towards the end of the race, because she was actually had the fastest car out there, and I think one of the best cars out there. But unfortunately, she got caught up in a wreck and slammed the wall once again. But it was kind of funny, if you watched the race last night and on TV, when she hit the wall, it pushed the drive shaft and the steering wheel above her head, and watching her try to steer that after she crashed into the wall was quite funny. But I got to tell you, man, you could see on Tony Urie Jr.'s face, he knew they had a car to win, and I think they might have won that if they wouldn't have that problem. But once again, like you said, Tom, them woes at Daytona just hit her. And, you know, everybody can say what you want, and I'm telling you what, in the next couple of years, she is going to be a little bit more of a force to be reckoned with. But, you know, she's got to pay her dues just like everybody else. And, you know, it's a good old boy racing network, and, you know, you gotta get your tattoos before you get your wins.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people would pay a lot of money to see Danica's tattoos. I'm just saying.
Well, you got a point there. I'll give you that. It'll be a long line, I'm sure.
I think you're probably right. And I have to freely admit, I would be in line to see Danica's tattoos. I'm a guy, right? I mean, what? I think a lot of girls would line up to see Danica's tattoos. Well, that's a whole nother discussion. Well, Carl Edwards, obviously, we're 9 weeks away from the big chase for the championship. You know, it really begins to take shape. Carl Edwards, I like him this year, but he's struggling a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with Carl Edwards, and where's his struggle at? Where do you think his biggest issue at this year?
Well, you know, he's had some bad luck. I mean, you know, you say what you want when it comes to NASCAR or really any type of racing. The luck has a lot to do with it. It just seems like his team is out of sync. It's almost like the crew chief and the crew is on their own page and Carl's on his own page. I mean, you can see it, that he's slowly coming together. But, you know, Carl Edwards in his history, once he's had a great year, the next year, he just, I don't know if he – you know, in my opinion, I think the psyche of what happened with Tony Stewart last year has messed with his head quite a bit this year. And, you know, it's just like Dale Jr. with his winless streak. Everybody's in his face. What's going on? What's going on? He says nothing, but he said exactly what I said. The team just does not seem like it's in sync. And they better do something pretty quick here, or he's not going to make the chase, you know, the year after he was second.
Absolutely. Well, bring us up to speed with Matt Kenseth and what's going on with him. And obviously, we think about the rumors that are going around about him switching around and then Austin Dillon moving up and in the main lead car for that team. Obviously, Austin Dillon has proven himself to be quite the – even if he does try to be a Kyle Petty wannabe what do we know about Matt Kenseth and his switcheroo and going on with Andretti, right? That's where he's thinking about, or maybe have already made the deal, or?
Well, I don't know, man. I tell you what my opinion of it, there is no deal made that I know of. There's been a lot of rumors, but I said from day one when he announced that he wasn't going to come back, and let me explain to you folks something here. A lot of people think Matt Kenseth is this big, hot-headed, big-headed guy, and that's why he left. But, you know, think about it. That man, in the last 3 years, I mean, he's always been a good driver, but he's had a lot of sponsorship issues. And I don't know if that's Jack Roush's fault or whether it's his fault or whatever, but it's got to the point where, you know, it's time to move on, and I can understand that. And it's nice of him to say early on, to Jack Roush Racing, hey, I'm going to seek other avenues. And I think that's great for him. But I think what's going to happen is he's going to the number 20 car and Joey Logano's going down to Nationwide to drive full time for Joe Gibbs Racing. That's what I think is going to happen. But yeah, Andretti, you know, there's been talk of him going there. There's even been talk, I've heard little itty bitty rumors here and there that he may go to Waltrip Racing. Because a lot of people don't realize that this is Martin Truex last year of his contract with them. And, you know, plain and simple, whoever he goes to, that team has just went up in value a ton. And the sponsorship, people want to realize that sponsorship is starting to make a lot of big differences in NASCAR here lately. I mean, just look at it. The poor guy's had, what, 3 or 4 sponsorships in the last 3 years? And they dropped him. I don't think it's anything towards Matt Kenseth, but maybe it is. I mean, you know, he's not a dirty racer. He's not a hothead. He's not a crybaby. He just gets in there and tries to do his job.
Let me ask you this real quickly, and I want to move over to IndyCar while we still got time, because we're going to be having Josh Timmerman, CRA contender, the Rookie of the Year, coming on here at 9:30. But how much play does a sponsor have in saying, hey, I will sponsor your team if you get this driver? Or do you think that, hey, you'll sponsor this team, you'll spend money with us because we're going to get you out there and we're going to get you to so many races, we're going to get you some television appearances, and our driver, whoever that might be, is going to be the guy push your product? Or do you think that sponsors really have, when you look at big dollar sponsors, do they have to say, hey, you know what, you got our sponsorship if you can bring X driver over to us? Does that come into play at all, you think?
Oh, man, that's got a lot more play in it than you think, Tom. It's huge. Just take a look at what happened with Kyle Busch after his incident last year. M&M's and Snickers and all them guys said, no, we're not going to sponsor him. And, I mean, they pulled their big money away for their last 2 races, and they said they would come back the following year as long as he kept his cool. He's done a pretty good job with that so far this year. His brother, that's another story. But, yeah, these guys have – I mean, when you're talking millions and millions of dollars that these guys put up to be a title sponsor – they got a lot more play in that than you think, trust me. You know, but you go like STP, Cheerios, love to stay with the Andretti family because it's Andretti. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, not Andretti, but Richard Petty. So, yeah, there's a big, big say in that.
Well, let's talk about some IndyCar real quickly here while we got here. Obviously, the boys are back in the street. And the real road courses, Cliff, the real road courses, when they're actually on the road, the streets, man, I like that. Tampa, not so popular with IndyCar, but Toronto's always been a great race. But now we look at, you know, Franchitti had some of his fastest practice sessions of all season up there. And then you look at Hinchcliffe, who man, he just couldn't catch a break up there with his engine issues. So talk to us about Toronto, the race that's up there. And I like Toronto. It reminds me of a video game.
It is. I mean, Toronto's always been a cool track to watch a race at. I've never actually been there, but I've watched it. And you're right, the streets are always fun. Frank Keating, I don't know, he's won two out of the last 3 years. He's just hot there. And he's had an up-and-down year, man. I don't know what's up. I thought once he won the Indy, he'd get on a roll, but he really hasn't. And, you know, he's down in points. He's only 70 out. He's still got a chance to come back up. Will Power starts seventh and he had points leader, but man, I got to tell you, you're right. Hinchcliffe just could not catch a break, had to change his engine, and you know, but you got to look out for Brian Hunter-Reay, man. That guy is on a roll.
And I absolutely agree, and I've talked about that to several people in my personal circles about Ryan Hunter-Reay, and what I like about him is nobody's watching him, nobody's saying it. You nailed it on the head there, Cliff. You got to watch out for Ryan Hunter-Reay because you know why? Nobody else is, and he's going to end up winning this championship, and everybody's going to say, Ryan, who? What? Who? Ray who?
You know, that kid has always had, he's always had some talent. You know, and again, people don't realize you give it a good team. It has to do with cars. It has to do with you and the crew becoming one. There's so many different aspects. It's not just a fast car, and people don't realize that. And Ryan Hunter-Reay is just, I mean, you could see him coming up through the year. And the last few races, he's just been on fire. And he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. But, you know, you can't, you know, again, Dario Franchitti, he's just awesome on this racetrack, and he's going to be hard to beat. But, you know, who knows? You never know.
Well, I tell you what, we've about come to an end of our beloved time with you today. And you know what? Pete told me you got to stay on the clock with these guys because Cliff gets violent. So I'm just saying he didn't say that.
I was going to say.
I think he was talking about Kenny. I'm sorry. One of you guys get violent. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
But, we got Josh Timmerman coming up, CRA Sportsman Rookie of the Year contender, coming up here at 9:30. Eddie, what's going on Radio Speed Talk? I know you guys are on vacation officially, so you're going to be running a best of, or what's going on?
Yeah, we ran a best of. We put on Wishes for Our Heroes. They're actually a group of former or not former, they are veterans of war, and trust me when I say veterans of war, these guys were all injured, but they started a group to help, or it's kind of like what's the one with the wishes they
Make a Wish Foundation or
thank you Make a Wish. They're kind of like that, but only for soldiers and veterans. And it's a great organization. We had them on. Claire B. Lang from Sirius Radio is on the show, and also Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. And those are all people that we talked to up at Michigan International Speedway about 3 weeks ago. So it's the best of. We still got our predictions and all that stuff in and all that. But that's pretty much what's going on. And then Sunday we're going up to watch the finals at the NHRA over in Norwalk, Ohio. So show coming up, we'll be talking a lot about that too.
All right, well, real quickly, where can people find your work and your masterpieces? And of course, I know you're on Twitter. We're on Twitter, and we've got people that Twitter you. So what's going on? Where can people find you?
RadioSpeedTalk.com is the biggest thing. You do have some local affiliates around the country that you can go and check on. You can check that out also at RadioSpeedTalk.com. And you got two guys on Twitter with us. It's Kenny Barr 52. And Radio Speed Talk too. That'll be mine. And just go wherever you want. You can go to Facebook and find us on there too. Become our friend.
Well, one of these days we'll just have to sabotage Pete and set him up an account and just start tweeting about Pete and say, "Hey, this is Tornado Pete, where I'm on Twitter now."
Well,
the only thing about it is he'll never know.
Oh, he'll know, trust me, because we'll make sure he knows. But anyway,
so. All right, guys, I tell you what, Cliff, I appreciate you taking time out of your day today to join us. I want to make sure you stay hydrated and stay cool. Today is going to be another hot day. I don't know about up there in Fort Wayne, but it certainly is going to be hot here in Indianapolis, that's for sure.
105 today, they're saying, up here, so, yeah.
I tell you what, that's hot no matter where you're at. Dry heat, humidity, no humidity, that's all. That's all there is to it. Well, Cliff, Tanner, Radio Speed Talk, so glad you could join us, guys. Stand by. We'll be right back with Josh Timmerman, CRA Rookie of the Year contender. We're going to talk some more racing. We'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
The best hits, best hits, and the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance on Saturday morning. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and I'm so excited to have our next guest with us. I tell you what, this guy is a very young and popular driver with the CRA and also a CRA Sportsman Rookie of the Year contender, and we got him on the line with us right now, Mr. Josh Timmerman. Welcome to The Balance for the very first time, sir.
Hey, thanks. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. I am so glad that you took time to join us today, buddy. What I want to know is it hot enough for you out there?
Oh, my gosh. I took my dog outside, and I stepped outside for 5 seconds, and I was sweating. I had to change my shirt when I came back in.
I tell you what, that humidity is a killer. We're here in Indianapolis, and it is just unbearable. Now, you live there in Davenport. Is that where you're at right now, or what you got going on this weekend?
I'm in Indianapolis.
You're in Indianapolis. You are here in Indianapolis. Okay, because you graduated from Lawrence Central High School. I'm with you now. Oh, man, it's been a great week. So talk to us about what's going on over there with you and your team, and what do you guys got going on as far as coming up here in the near future?
Yeah, well, like you said, we're running in the CRA Late Model Sportsman Division, and our next race is going to be actually next weekend at the High Banks of Winchester Speedway. So first time out there in this car, we got 10th, which, not where we wanted, but still doing pretty good. So we're looking forward to getting back there.
Now, what I always like to do when I talk to different drivers of different series, I like for the drivers to just to kind of give us a rundown about their series and what's their difference in their series and really what makes their series unique, because every race series out there is unique, whether it's the USAC or whether it's CRA, NHRA, NASCAR, IndyCar, they're all unique in their own aspects. So what makes the CRA series unique?
Yeah, the CRA series actually split up into four different divisions. There's the Super Series, the JEG Series, and the Sportsman Series, as well as the Street Stock Series. So with the Sportsman Series, pretty much what makes us unique is the rule book. We're not tied down as many other series are. However, we do run on 8-inch tires as opposed to 10-inch tires. So you can stuff as much horsepower under the hood as you want, but you got to hook it up on an 8-inch tire. So that's pretty much how it is, and it's pretty much the same car as the Super Series and the JEG Series. It's just a matter of the budget. So a lot of the up and coming drivers go through the Sportsman Series to get to the JEG Series and the Super Series.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, also, and I like you, Winchester Speedway. That's coming up here on July 15th. That is a good old-fashioned Indiana racetrack. And, you know, I know this is not the series that you race in, but Winchester is a fun series to watch, the World of Outlaws. They have the World of Outlaws to come up there. And I like Winchester. That's a good old-fashioned Indiana track. So tell us about Winchester Speedway and some of the things that you deal with there and coming up in the next race on the 15th of July.
Well, Winchester is very fast, for one. It's probably one of the fastest racetracks that I've ever been on. Just the Sportsman Series alone, we average roughly 100 to 105 miles an hour around there. Super Series guys average 115, and I know the World of Outlaw guys average, gosh, I don't know what it is, but it's more than that. So it's just the raw speed, and from what I learned the first time I was there, it's all about momentum. So creating that momentum and keeping it out there, getting up as close to the wall as you can and riding all the way around. So it's pretty fun, and it's a learning experience. Like I said, it's probably the fastest track I've been to, but I'm really excited to get back, so.
Well, I know you're no stranger to the dirt track, obviously. You began your racing career, I believe, racing dirt here in Indiana, at Kokomo Speedway and so forth. So tell us a little bit about some of the self-discovery things you've gone. You're only 24 years old, but tell us, you're a very mature 24 years old, and while all your buddies are out partying, you're out racing cars. So tell me, what chose your path at such a young age to say, hey, I want to be out on the racetrack?
Yeah, well, I've always been a fan of racing, and I always grew up with my dad watching it on TV, watching the NASCAR guys. And then my cousin used to work with the ARCA RE/MAX team, and that was when I was 14, 15 years old. Well, I decided that I wanted to be a part of that because my mom wouldn't let me drive yet. So finally, a couple years, I think I was 16 years old, I finally convinced my mom to let me drive. And one of the ARCA team that I was working with, the driver was Tim Turner, and he's from Tennessee. And I had drove all the way down there and pulled his old street stock out of the weeds and brought it back here to Indiana, worked on it a little bit, and took it up to Kokomo Speedway. And the funny thing is we had no idea what we were doing. But it was a lot of fun, and it was the start of something that's culminated to where we're at now. So we started in the street stock to Kokomo, and then we decided to make the transition over to the asphalt world when I bought a super truck, and I ran there for a couple years at Anderson Speedway, collecting one win in 2008. Then in 2009, the trucks went away, so we had the decision to either move up or move down, and we decided to move up, and that's when we went to this late model, and we actually went to Wisconsin to pick it up. There was a guy that was racing up at Slinger Speedway up there. So we got the car, poured our heart and soul in it over the off season, and then the first race out, April 18, 2009, we destroyed it at Anderson Speedway. So we'd always miss a race here and there because of you know, silly things that happen, things that are out of your control, but we never missed a season or missed half a season because of issues you know, a crash or whatnot. So it was really a life-changing event, but it started a lot of things, and we're kind of just now this year, because of work with what I do for a living and some other things, getting back to where we started in 2009. So we got a lot of great things going on right now, but I certainly wouldn't change the path that I've taken just because it's overall made me a better person.
Well, and I tell you what, absolutely, hands off to you. And I know you've attached your name as well as some other drivers have attached their name to Families of Hope. Obviously, you, Kyle Gamble, Craig Bontrager, all people have obviously, it's the Tony Stewart Foundation. But tell us a little bit about Families of Hope, what it's about, and what do you do for them?
Yeah, Families for Hope is a nonprofit organization, and my mother is a home care nurse. So she took care of this little boy. His name was Sammy, and Sammy had hollow prosencephaly. And essentially what that is the brain doesn't split into its two halves. So lots of troubles and medical issues from the very beginning. The children aren't expected to last very long. So Sammy's mother had created this Families for Hope, and when I was growing up and racing and stuff, I always wanted to attach myself to something. So naturally, I attached myself to Families for Hope. So we put them on the hood, and we do a lot of awareness stuff for them at the racetracks. Just like at here at Winchester Speedway next weekend, there's a family fun day, so we're going to do some Families for Hope awareness, you know, giveaway balloons, sign autographs, and talk to some people about stuff like that. So I'm also on the board of directors. So at the end of the month here, we're actually going to go down to Charlotte and have our biannual conference, which brings together about 40 to 50 families, you know, just to again, raise awareness and, you know, a lot of support stuff going on there, and there'll be doctors present, stuff like that. So I don't know a whole lot about the medical side of things. So a lot of what I do with Families for Hope is, as far as serving on the board is, you know, some operation stuff and financial stuff as well. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be attached with, and you know, I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Well, I tell you what, I think it's a great organization, and anything we could do to help you get your name out there and get out there, Families for Hope, obviously, we'll be tweeting about them and sharing anything that we could do in our social media as well. Now, you graduated from Lawrence Central High School here in Indianapolis. You don't know this, but our social media director and producer, Michelle, is also an alumni of Lawrence North. So Lawrence Central there. So I just or maybe she went to Lawrence North, but I know it had a Lawrence in it, okay? Maybe she just went to prom with a guy named Lawrence. Maybe that's what it was. But you live here in Indianapolis, obviously the racing mecca of the world. A Grand Am Series coming here. They're testing here this weekend. Another one of your partners with Families for Hope is a racer out there in the Grand Am Series and been on the show, Kyle Gamble. Now, what are your thoughts about the Grand Am Series there at IMS real quickly before we let you go?
I think it's going to be great. You know, Indianapolis, they've struggled a little bit lately in the last few years filling the seats. So I don't necessarily agree with taking the Nationwide and the trucks away from ORP, but bringing the Nationwide over with the Grand Am Series at IMS, I think it's going to be a good deal because it's going to mix it up a little bit. You know, typically you don't have a road race at the same track with the Cup guys on Saturday and Sunday. So I think it's going to be really good, and hopefully it boosts the attendance a little bit better.
You know, you bring up an interesting thing. We were just talking with Cliff from Radio Speed Talk just before you about that very same thing, about how they're going to have to switch the courses around. Is that going to really be more of a logistics issue with IMS, or do you think, and I know you don't race at that level, but do you think that that's going to be something that teams have to worry about as far as, okay, well, we had a different course, different types of cars on here. Is that going to have any effect on the actual Nationwide and NASCAR race at all, you think, by switching those two tracks around?
No, I don't think so. I think that, well, for the most part, you know, they don't use a whole lot of the oval. I know they use the front stretch and a little bit of turn one and a little bit of turn four. But I don't think that there's going to be much worry about that.
All right, Josh Timmerman, CRA Rookie of the Year. We're just going to call you Rookie of the Year. I know you're a contender for Rookie of the Year, but we're just going to speak victory over you right now, buddy. Anything else you want to say to us, our listeners? Anything that we haven't asked you that maybe you want to tell us? And where can people find you on social media? And, of course, at which racetracks can people find you at?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. You just search Josh Timmerman. I have a fan page, and also joshtimmerman.com, my website. Also Twitter, at Josh Timmerman. And we will be, I just want to thank my sponsors real quick. First of all, Families for Hope. They do a lot for me as well as me for them, so it's kind of a great scenario there. Shoemaker Performance, they give me a lot of power under the hood, so I definitely appreciate them. Ellis Race Cars, and then obviously Speed Talk Radio with Pete and Cliff. They're helping us get the name out there as well, like you guys are. So, we're going to be at Winchester on July 15th, and then we're going to try to hit up Anderson Speedway in between July 15th and August 11th, and then we'll be at Anderson Speedway August 11th, and then the big one coming up for us is O'Reilly Raceway Park, which is at the very end of September. It's my favorite racetrack to go to, and hopefully we'll be able to get a win. So I really appreciate your time.
No, we appreciate you taking time to be with us. And Josh, you're always welcome here on The Balance, buddy.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that.
All right. Josh Timmerman. Josh Timmerman, CRA Rookie of the Year contender. Man, I'm not allowed to push buttons anymore, I don't think. Anyway, guys, we'll be right back. And hopefully, guys, we've got another driver standing by, Grace Howell. We hope to have her, and we're trying to get her right now. We'll be right back right here on The Balance.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
The best hits, best hits, and the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. There was supposed to be a music bed there, but it didn't quite happen. I hope that we have Grace. Are you with us? I'm hoping that we can get Grace Howell. We tried this last week. This is the Balance here, and we're trying to get Grace Howell on. Well, maybe we're going to get her on here soon. So, guys, stand by. We're going to take another break, and we get right back. We'll try to have Grace on the air with us. You're listening to The Balance on the Balance Network.
Looking like Danny Fly. I pick to the beat, walking down the street in my new the freak. Yeah, this is how I roll. Animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout. Yeah,
girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out when I walk in the spot. Yeah. This is what I see. Okay. Everybody stops and staring at me. I got the passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to.
All right, my minions. is. Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I tell you what, we're just 15 minutes away from talking football for the rest of the show, for the most part. Obviously, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. 917-889-8516, listeners. And make sure you're following us on Twitter and on Facebook. I tell you what, we're getting more and more people say, hey, you know, I'm following you on Facebook. I'm following you. And we're so glad that you guys are a minion. Also, you know, our partners in crime over at IndieProSports.com. So we're supposed to have Grace Howell on the air with us. I'm not sure exactly what are our technical difficulties. 2 weeks in a row we've had that issue, but those things happen. And anyway, IndieProSports.com is the place for the fan. It's a revolution. We got it. We got some revolution going on. You know, there's been some great revolutions over time. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution. But now, it's a brand new revolution going on, the fan revolution. And you're the fan and a minion. It could be both, fan, minion. And we just every day on IndieProSports.com, we've got something for you. Whether it's Purdue, you know, we've got a great writer, Evan Williams, gets on there and just really writes about Purdue and what's going on with Purdue football. We got things to do with the Colts and the Fever and the Indianapolis Indians, which, by the way, the Indianapolis Indians this year are on fire. If you remember, we had Howard Kelman, voice of the Indianapolis Indians, on with us just a few weeks ago. And, you know, just they are on fire. And we're going to an all-star break. And they are just having they're just having a great season. And I hope that it pans out for them and things keep going, guys. We want to take your calls, 917-889-8516. This is where it's going to be cool. At 10 o'clock here, we've got Rich Nye of WTHR Sports here in Indianapolis. And we're going to talk about the Colts. We're going to talk about Andrew Luck. And we're going to talk about, you know, a lot, of course, the NFL overall. But, you know, coming up at 10:15, Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. We're going to guess the hot joint of the week is back. And I also, guys, Serena Williams, I said it last week, I won't say it again, she is a beast, a beast. Serena Williams is well on her way to her number 5 Big W title, winning the first set of 6-1. I don't know that there's anybody out there that can beat her in tennis. Well, I could. I challenge you, Serena, to a match. Then after I get done with that, I'm going to go play Tiger Woods in golf. Come on now. And then I'm going to – oh, man. But, hey, guys, you know what? We were talking about racing. Kurt Busch wins over their nationwide race out there in Daytona. Good racer, Kurt Busch. Good to see him win. He races for his second win of the season. So, good job, Kurt. Hey, guys, 917-889-8516. We're standing by here at 10 o'clock. We're going to be talking to Rich Nye. We're going to be talking some Colts. And here's what I'm excited about, guys. 10:30. Check this out. 10:30. We're going to be talking to Miles. You know, I got to tell you a story. I don't know what kind of hair. I'm going to talk with him about this when he gets on the show. Miles, dude, do something with your hair, brother. Oh, man, Indy Pro Sports and The Balance. I hung out with him for a little bit last night in downtown Indianapolis. And he was wearing this I don't know, spiky hair. See, I don't have any hair, so I could go with it. You guys are like, hurry up, 10 o'clock, get here, so we can talk to Rich Nye, talk about some Colts, guys. I'm El Presidente. Do whatever I want. It's my show, right? You know what? You do not even have to pay a mandate. Is that what it's called? Or is it a tax? Tax. Jeez. I know. It's a sports talk show. I'm going to get in trouble. I tell you what. I'm going to be the guy needing a vacation. I need a vacay. I need a vacay. Who's going to take me on vacay? Yes, I know. I talk in Twitter language. Oh, my, guys. This is The Balance Saturday morning. We're standing by. Rich Nye coming up at 10 o'clock, and we're going to be talking some Colts, and we're going to be talking some NFL. At 10:30, guys, is, man, Fantasy Football Huddle is back, and we are going to be talking some preseason fantasy. Yeah, the gang's back, guys. The gang is back. Chad, everybody, Chad, Miles is joining us, and I think $2 Bill Josh is going to jump on if he can. you know, this is funny. I got to tell this story because you guys will appreciate this. Last night, our social media director, like I said, we all were hanging out, you know, and, you know, just doing the things that we do for the show and stuff, and we were just talking, and I was talking about the fantasy football huddle, and my social media director comes to me and says, now what's fantasy football? Oh, man. Yes, true story. She goes, what's fantasy football? I had to give her a quick lesson on fantasy football. But you know what? She's like, hey, I want to play this year. I think that we're going to let her in. You know, girl power. We, you know, remember Jackie who was in the Super Bowl last year. Did she win? I think no, she didn't win, but she came in second place, obviously. But yeah, girl power, man, girl power, fantasy football. that's for sure. But so yeah, you know, fantasy football huddle is back, guys. And if you don't know what fantasy football is, well, if you're a guy and you don't know what fantasy football is, I want your man card. I want your man card. Really? You don't know what fantasy football? Now, I have to give her a hard time. Michelle does a great job for us behind the scenes, and she likes to be behind the scenes, but I tell you what, she does a great job. But we're going to be talking some fantasy football, obviously some of the top drafts, some of the projections, some of the sleepers, some of the things that are going on, some early forecasts, you know, some Q&A. So we're gonna have a good time with it, guys. We're going to do maybe, you know, we'll horse around with a little bit of a mock draft. The thing is, it's preseason, so nothing really counts for anything. But we're going to get you in the mood. We're going to be a little foreplay, if you will. Yes, I know, foreplay. I went there. I said it. Preseason fantasy football huddle. I love it. Love it, guys. I'm so glad that you're a part of the show. You're the minions. Spread the love. Go to Twitter, T-Balance, Facebook, The Balance, and then follow us over on Indy Pro Sports too, Pro Indy, and Indy Pro and Indy Pro Sports on Facebook. We are always on there, and we're going to be on at IMS with some of the Grand Am testings and stuff. So it's going to be a great time, guys. Stand by. I'm going to tell you what. Right around the corner, Mr. Rich Nye is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking some football, some Colts. And that's right. The teasers are. You're like, oh, quit teasing. The teasers are the tweezers. The tweezers. The teasers. You know what, Miles is no. I'm no longer allowed to go out with Miles the night before a show anymore. It's just dangerous for me on Saturday Saturday morning. I'm not allowed to do that anymore, guys. But you know what? We're going to have a great time with fantasy football and fantasy football huddle this year. And guys, if you want to be a part of it, make sure you can send us a message at tbalance@ymail.com. You can also send me an email over at tom@indyprosports.com. And I tell you what, we've got a great time with fantasy football, so make sure you join us, guys. Stand by, we'll be right back right here. And you know what? I'm just excited. I'm overly stoked about talking football and college football right around the corner. And you know, when we get into football season, you know what we do in this show? We have a great time with it, and we talk football. So guys, you know, I normally reserve this next soundbite Bedford during football season. But since we're going to be gearing up and going into fantasy football huddle and, you know, talking some college football later on in the season, it's only appropriate, guys. We'll be right back. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
From early morning till late into the night.
It's a whole new way of life.
24/7, the hits are non-stop.
Well, let's hear it.
WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
My minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Saul Mark Wessel, Presidente. So glad that you guys could join us. And I tell you what, it's been a great first hour talking racing. Obviously, the Grand Am Racing Series are out there at IMS. But it's time to switch gears, guys, a little bit. And I tell you what, it is that time of year where we get to start talking about the Indianapolis Colts. And nobody knows the Colts better than Rich Nye from WTHR Sports. Rich, it's so good to have you back on The Balance. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, just trying to stay cool.
Man, it is hot out there. Hot, hot, hot. You know, real quickly, I and we'll get to the Colts thing here in just a second, but obviously the Grand Am guys are out there testing yesterday and today. What is your feel about the Grand Am series out there, and what do you think the overall feel is, obviously taking away the nationwide series from Lucas and now having everything out there at IMS? And then an even more logistic issue, they're running two different tracks, which is kind of unheard of when you look at racing. It's either all over or it's all road course. This time they're doing both. With the Grand Am, they're doing the road course. So logistically, how difficult is that? And what do you think, from a fan's perspective anyway, how well received are they and nationwide over there at IMS this year?
Well, I think the Brickyard weekend certainly needed an influx of excitement, and I think this is going to help. How much it's going to help, I'm not sure yet. I'll be real interested to see what the crowd will be like this weekend, or this upcoming Brickyard weekend, as they're calling it, the Super Weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where you now have the opportunity to see multiple races on the race weekend, like you do at most tracks when you go to a track for a race weekend. In the NASCAR series, in most situations, not every one, but usually get a nationwide race on a Saturday and then the Cup guys on Sunday. And that's what NASCAR fans are used to. That's what they've kind of come to expect. And Indianapolis, although it is the greatest racetrack in the world, the Brickyard is not a great race in terms of watching racing. You obviously can't see all the way around the track. And the racing itself is just not particularly good racing for the stock cars at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway by tradition. It just normally isn't a great race. So it needed something to kind of add some excitement to the weekend. The best option that they came up with was to get more races, get more action, get more track activity. Because at the Brickyard, Saturday was really a dud with just Cup qualifying, and then the day was over. There just wasn't much to bring people out to the track until race day on Sunday. So they've added these events now to try to get people to come out for the entire weekend. This year, at least for the first year, it'll be a four-day weekend because the nationwide guys coming to the Brickyard for the first time are going to test it on Thursday. And then we get into the logistical problem that you referred to, because they'll test on the oval Thursday with the nationwide cars. Then as soon as that testing's done for the day, they've got to convert the track into the street course for the Friday event with the Grand Am cars running on the road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. A couple of races there on Friday. Then they've got to convert the track back to the oval Friday night to be ready for the nationwide race, qualifying and Cup qualifying all on Saturday. And then, of course, you've got the it's got a really, really long name. Your hero's name here, presented by Crown Royal at the Brickyard on Sunday. So it's going to be a real test for the Speedway staff. I know that they are anxious. I know that they are feeling that they're prepared for it, but they know also that it's going to be a big challenge. I think that they have never done it before under any kind of time constraint or real pressure. And I think the quickest conversion they've done in the past has been about 3 days. And that wasn't really under any heavy pressure to do so. It was just, you know, let's see how long this takes and how quickly we can do it to get ready for our next test or our next event. And I think that was about 3 days, if I remember right, from my conversation with Speedway officials. So it's going to be a real, real challenge. I think it's good to add something. I hate that ORP lost its nationwide race, because that was a great event out there and was for years. And Kroger was the longest running sponsor of any NASCAR event out there, any NASCAR event in the country. And so that's a race that I think is going to be missed for a lot of fans. But there's no question that the Speedway needed something to help out the weekend, and we'll see if this helps this year.
Well, we're talking to Rich Nye, the sports guy from WTHR. Everybody knows who Rich Nye is, especially if you live here in the Indianapolis area. So everybody also knows that you know everything about the Colts. So I gotta ask this. As someone in the media, but also as a fan, I'm getting a little concerned and a little perturbed about this whole Andrew Luck situation. For example, it can't be that hard. The Pacers just drafted Miles Plumlee; they got him signed. Now they can't seem to get something together with Andrew Luck. How's that going to hurt the Colts? Is it going to hurt him? And are they going to get him signed?
Well, I have a hard time believing that they won't have him there at the start of training camp. The current system that, you know, was negotiated here a couple of years ago now pretty much makes it a slot system like the NBA, where there's not a whole lot of wiggle room in these contracts. Now, the problem is, and what makes it a little more complicated, is when you have a quarterback who's the number one pick, that position is going to pay more than any other job in the NFL. And when you expect this guy to be a franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 12 years, that's going to be a huge, huge deal. But because of the current system, there's not a lot of negotiating. The both sides pretty much know what the parameters of the deal have to be under the rules of the collective bargaining agreement. So it shouldn't be that hard, you're right. I have a hard time believing they won't get it done before the start of training camp. And if Andrew Luck misses any training camp at all, I think it would be only a day or two. Look, this is just like Peyton Manning's situation. And Peyton missed, as I recall, a day or two, maybe 3 days. I don't even think it was that much of his first training camp before they finally got his first deal done. I think that Andrew Luck's deal will be done before training camp opens in Anderson on the same Sunday as the Brickyard. And I think that there's been some talk, you know, in the media that there was a hang up. There was one report published that there was a hang up over marketing, that the Colts wanted to have some say so and some ability to limit or at least clear the contracts that Andrew does on the side in terms of marketing and promotions and that sort of thing. I don't think that's going to be a big hang-up. I'm just going to be very surprised if Andrew Luck's not at training camp for the start of camp.
So fantasy owners shouldn't get worked up just yet then?
No. I guarantee you that he'll be there long before the first preseason game.
All right. Well, you know what? Maybe we're just making more out of it because it's Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, the whole thing. Obviously, there's two other rookies they haven't signed, which is also some of their top picks. Kobe Flinder and Dwayne Allen, they haven't signed them either. Nobody's talking about that. So maybe it's just normal course of business, another day at the office. But it just seems like we could breathe a lot better if we can get this guy signed.
Well, sure. And there's nothing else to talk about right now for the Colts, so that's what you talk about. But 3 weeks is a lot of time to get a deal done, and ultimately it only takes about 5 seconds to write your name on a piece of paper and then fax it back to an office. So it's not that big a deal once they come to an agreement, and I think that's coming. And it typically works in reverse order. You get your lowest draft pick signed first, and it works slowly back up to the top. So I would think probably in the next week or two, we'll hear about the two tight ends getting their deals done, and then Andrew will be the last one to get his deal done. That's just the way it happens. You only have a certain amount of money that you can give to rookies, and so you usually work in reverse order, and it's just going to be a matter of Andrew waiting his time, and I think that will happen in its due time.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, that training camp opens up July 29th up at Anderson University. A lot of fans aren't happy with the fact that they're not going to get to see their team at training camp as much as they have had in years in past. And it goes to question, is the Colts – I think everybody knows everything anyway in the NFL. There's nothing new underneath the sun. So what are they trying to? Why are they trying to have so many closed sessions as opposed to things sessions open to the public this year? I guess is the biggest question that I would have.
Well, I haven't inspected the training camp practice schedule closely. That came out while I was on vacation about a week ago, but as I've looked at it in a glancing view, it appears to me that basically what's closed to the public are morning walkthroughs. Those are pretty boring practices. But I understand that fans just want to get out there and see the team, and this does limit their options, whereas maybe you used to be able to go in the morning or the afternoon. Now you can only go in the afternoon, let's say. So that does limit fans' options. I don't know what the motivation is, quite frankly. I don't know if it's a matter of trying to get all the crowd there at one time, one day, at one time during the day, I should say, and allow the security staff, the ushering staff, the ground staff, the parking staff to have that more controlled and consolidated and even slightly contained cost by we don't have to have people there all day. We only need them for this afternoon session. So there may be some organizational ideas there, cost containment ideas there, and also, you know, then you get, you know, one big crowd for one big practice each day. Maybe there's some logistical things that the Colts are thinking of there. Maybe they've worked with Anderson University on those ideas as well to try to facilitate the best experience for fans. I'm trying to give the Colts the benefit of the doubt there. But maybe there is some kind of Colts strategic situation here as well. I know that it used to be for the media, for instance. In Terre Haute, and going back to the first round of Anderson, we could pretty much, if they were on the field, we could shoot it, and we could shoot it from up and down the sidelines and get pretty much any angle we wanted. Ever since they returned to Anderson, we have been confined as a media staff to one corner of the end zone, shooting the whole field from one corner of the end zone where it's very hard to see a lot of things, especially when other players may stand in your way or in your field of view and block what they're doing. But we've been very, and then we've also been limited on the times that we could shoot video. While a fan could sit in the stands with their iPhone and shoot the whole practice, we were only allowed to shoot pretty much drills. Anytime they were doing strategic things of 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 last year at training camp, we weren't allowed to shoot those things. You couldn't watch real football highlights on our sports reports because we weren't allowed to shoot them. So there may be some of that continuing restriction in this plan as well, and expanding it to fans where when we're out there in the morning doing walkthroughs and strategically setting up, okay, this is the formations we're going to run, this is where we're going to line up Toby Fleener and Dwayne Allen in a two tight end set. We don't want, you know, everybody seeing that as we install that. There may be some thought to that that the Colts have implemented, that we just don't want anybody and everybody out here taking pictures and video of this. So we're only going to limit fans to the afternoon practice. I'm not quite sure what the thinking is. It hasn't been explained to me. It wasn't outlined clearly in the Colts release. I'm not even quite sure if when the fans are prohibited from those morning walkthroughs, is the media allowed to be out there for that morning walkthrough? That wasn't real clear to me in the first release that we got from the Colts, what that's going to be like for us as a media staff as well. So I'm curious to see how Anderson will operate this year, but I can tell you the pattern has been year to year more and more restrictions for both media, and now the fans are starting to feel a little bit of that too. And I don't know if there's a strategic element or a secrecy element in that in addition to any logistical thought that might be out there.
Well, we've been talking to Rich Nye, the sports guy. Rich, it's been great having you with us today. And, again, we hope to have you throughout the season and help us really break down the Indianapolis Colts. Rich, where can people find you at on social media, on TV, on radio? Where can people find you?
Well, the best place to see me, obviously, is on Channel 13, WTHR, and I would tell you what number that is on your cable system, but it changes everywhere. Usually it's 12 or 13. But
it's
we'll
NBC,
hope you watch
it
on
that.
TV first and foremost. That's still the main job. But you can find my work at WTHR.com, and you can certainly follow me on Twitter. TheSportsGuy13 is my handle. Or you can look me up on Facebook. My public page is Rich Nye, the Sports Guy. So I hope you'll follow me on all those formats, and we'll try to keep you up to date on Indianapolis local sports as best as possible.
Rich Nye, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck on staying cool out there, and we'll see you throughout the season as the Colts progress.
I suggest everyone, if they can, find a pool today.
All right, buddy. Rich Nye, the sports guy from WTHR Sports. So glad that he could join us today and talk some Colts, guys. Right around the corner, Mr. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. Yes, the hot joint of the week is back, and it is hot.
Continuous hit music. This is what we are. What we are. This is what we do.
A lot of stuff.
WROM. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. I'm Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and it is hot, hot, hot. And what a better way to talk about the heat than the hot joint of the week with Mr. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. Holla at your boy, Jay.
Holla at your boy. What's going on, man?
What's up, my brother from another mother?
What's happening?
Are you staying cool out there today?
Man, I'm not going outside, brother. You got to stay in the cool air.
Man, I'm going to be headed out to IMS here right after the show, actually, for the testing of the Grand Am series. So I'm going to be out in the sun today. And all I can say is just stay hydrated. Stay hydrated.
Hey,
with Gatorade.
Cooler with you, brother. Cooler with you.
Yeah, take my cooler with me.
That's right.
I tell you what, if I wasn't working, I'd be taking my cooler with me, that's for sure. All right, what's going on with the hot joint of the week, my friend?
Hot joint of the week, man, everybody. This has been, I wrote this article last week, but it's still the hot joint this week because it has become the number one viewed article on the blog all time, Ghetto Instincts. Basically, I wrote an article to try to open the eyes of all the people that were going off about Isaiah Crowell. Just to give you a little background, Isaiah Crowell was the running back for the University of Georgia last week that was arrested after being stopped in the checkpoint. He and some buddies were coming from a club, and after at about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and the car, they were stopped in the checkpoint, and they were found to have, he had a gun under the seat of his, under the driver's seat, he was charged with two felonies. One, he had a gun in a school zone because he was near the University of Georgia, and then secondly, he had the ID marks on the gun were scratched off. And so everybody was going crazy, going off about the kid, talking about how stupid he was and this and that, you know, just beating him up real bad. So I wrote the article, The Ghetto Instincts, to say, well, you know what, you have to remember that some of these kids that you go and recruit, if you go into the ghetto, the inner city, the hood, and recruit kids, you're going to get kids that are going to have some baggage. And that baggage is every one of us that grew up in the ghetto have what we call ghetto instincts. There are certain things that you pick up while you're a kid that you need to survive in the world, a la when you go off to college. You need to understand that, hey, you need to lock your doors. You can't trust everybody. You can't be naive to the world, et cetera. Those are the things that you learn growing up in the ghetto that are good. Now, having a gun is an instinct that he didn't need to transfer. But unfortunately, when you're a kid that grows up in an environment like that, so many times during this kid's lifetime, especially the fact that he wasn't raised with his father, et cetera, so many times you see uncles, brothers, older cousins, et cetera, since he was 3 or 4 years old, pick the gun up, put it in the car, and ride. And so he didn't even think about having the gun under the seat when he got pulled over. I mean, they actually gave the police officers the permission to check under the seat. And so what I was trying to get people to understand, not saying that it's right, but I'm saying when you go as a college coach and you go into these inner cities and you recruit kids, you're going to recruit kids that have baggage. And you got to be willing to deal with the good and the bad of those that baggage, because you are taking a risk on some of these kids, especially if they grew up in a bad environment, no father, no role models, et cetera. This is what you're going to get.
And I agree. Are you there with us, Jay?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I thought I lost you there, my friend. No, so what you're saying, and here's the thing. I agree with what you're saying, but what you are saying is you can take the boy out of the street, but you can't take the street out of the boy. Well, you know, the thing about it is if you're given an opportunity that a lot of kids don't have to get out of that situation, my thing is this: you no longer have to be in that situation. So it makes sense that, yeah, hey, you know, we have these instincts, we are this way because this is the way society made us. I don't really buy into that, and I also believe also that if you're given the opportunity to get out of that, first of all, you don't need to be out at 2 o'clock in the morning with a gun at a bar. I mean, really. Let's face it. If they were at home, and not at a bar, it would never happen. So
you're missing my whole point. What you're saying is exactly true, but you have to understand there have been, and I've been in the pharmaceutical business for years, and I've read all kind of clinical studies. There's a clinical study out there, several, that says kids that grow up in a war zone, grow up seeing death and violence and destruction, suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder just like military veterans do. The only difference between the kid that grows up in the ghetto and the guy that's a military veteran, the military veteran gets treated for it. You know, it's easy for you and I as grown men, adults, to say, well, you don't have to do this. He's getting an opportunity. You got to remember, the kid's 19 years old. He's 1 year removed from being in the foolishness. So it takes time for you to try to get rid of some of these ignorant instincts, some of these things that you don't necessarily need, or you can't think that a kid that grows up in Gary, Indiana, will have the same mindset as a kid that grows up in Carmel. They're two different animals, and they think differently based on what their environments have given them. When you're a kid that never had to protect yourself, you're a kid that never had to see violence, never saw folks selling drugs, never saw folks being shot right in front of you, then you think completely differently than a kid that has seen all of that. So I understand that it doesn't make any sense at all to have a gun under the seat, but at the same time, if you're a kid that's all you've seen your entire life, it's going to take some time for you to start getting rid of some of those habits. And that's why these coaches have to be more than just coaches, because in the hood when I was growing up, the coach wasn't just the coach. The coach was a spiritual advisor. He was a father. He was a mentor. He was the ride to work, to school and practice. He was lunch money. He was everything. He was more than just a coach. And so a lot of these guys, when they go out and recruit these kids, you got to remember, you're going to get more than just the football player when the guy shows up. Some guys transition very well, and some guys don't. And this is an example of a guy that didn't transition well based on whatever his environment was. I'm not making excuses for him, but there is a reason why there was a gun under that seat. He didn't need the gun, but there was a reason why. That's all I brought to your attention.
No, you know what? For once, Mr. J. Graves, I can see your side of things. You know, the thing is, unfortunately, we're up against the clock here, but we'd love for you to hang out with us and talk some fantasy football. We've got the guys coming in here going to be talking some fantasy football. We're bringing back the fantasy football huddle preseason. So you're more than welcome to stick around. Do you want to stick around and talk to fantasy football with us, or you got to go?
Now I got to take off. Now I got to take my baby girl to see Katy Perry in 3D.
You know what? What show? What movie's that?
Katy Perry. I don't know who Katy Perry is, but my daughter does. She's been wanting to see it all week, so I've got to take her to see it in about an hour. So I've got to get
Katy Perry. I got you. I tell you what, you are a model dad, sir. You know, so go out there and load her up with popcorn and juicy fruits and teddy bears and whatever the heck you got to do, my friend. But we'll do this again next week. We were just backed up on time. Our conversation with Rich ran a little bit longer than anticipated. But you know, hey, dude, it's Rich Nye, man. You got when you get the A list, you got to go with the flow, brother.
You got to give Rich his time, man. I'll be there.
You the man, brother. You the man.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, man. Yep. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. Guys, I'll tell you what, I love talking with him. I love just to disagree with him, just to get him all riled up. It's a lot of fun, guys, but not as much fun as what's coming up next. Fantasy Football Huddle's back!
With a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
The weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday. It was chillier last Sunday, absolutely. But it's been nice.
It ain't no 50 degree right here now.
But they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
It was cold.
It's 22 degrees out here. It's bleeding.
So much for no rain, huh?
All right, boys and girls. Yeah, it is football, guys. It is. I tell you what, I wish it was regular season, but it's fantasy football, and I'm going to tell you what, it is going to be a blast. This is one of the most popular. This has been. For as long as I could remember, since we ever started the show, one of the most popular things next to racing that we do, and of course we have our own fantasy football league, and you know, guys just like to talk fantasy football, and we get more people engaged with fantasy football than we do any other thing. So, you know, we got to have our preseason, and it is here, guys, and we got the gangs all back. And some newcomers as well. One of the newcomers to the Fantasy Football Huddle, Mr. Miles Fork of Banff Magazine, also joining us. Welcome back, buddy. How was your off season, Mr. Chad Ocho
Cinco? It was good, man. It was good.
It was good, man. It was good. It was good. Well, I tell you what. Are we ready for some football? Miles, are you ready for some football?
I'm always ready for football, man.
I'll tell you what, dude, I got to say this, man. I was telling everybody, you know, we were hanging out a little bit last night, dude, your hair, man, what is up with that?
I mean, maybe what is up with that?
It's a cool style. I don't have any hair. I'm just wondering how you do it. Is it gel? Is it hairspray? Is it?
It's electricity and a lot of water, I'm just saying.
Well, Chad, I tell you what. And those of you, we're going to be kind of formal today, but you know, when we get into the real deal, Chad's name, his ultra ego name is Axel. So when we refer to Axel, we refer to Chad. So I'm going to just go as if it was real season, Axel. Let's talk some fantasy football, guys. It's here. And, you know, we're going to be having our draft next month. And so we've got about 3 weeks of preseason talk. Then we got our draft, and then we got about 2 weeks, and then we're on. So we're about 5 weeks away from being on, Axel. So do we even have to guess who the number one draft pick is going to be this year, or do we? You think that it might be somebody that we're not thinking?
I just don't think it depends on the league, though. A lot of leagues, traditional leagues, give four points for a passing touchdown for the quarterback. If that is the case, then the running back's importance goes up. If you're giving 6 points per passing touchdown for the quarterback, like in our church league, then the quarterback's the pass happy quarterback becomes important. Otherwise, a quarterback like Cam Newton, the running quarterback like Michael Vick and Cam Newton, and of course the running backs, they go a little more higher if it is only 4 points per passing touchdown for the quarterback, regardless with how Arian Foster and Ray Rice are getting catches and touches, and there's really not much of a challenge to their workload. And given Houston's zone blocking and Ray Rice's monopoly in the Ravens' offense, I mean, it's hard to imagine them not being the top two.
Well, and I'm surprised that you say that, because for some reason, in the back of my mind, I would think that Andrew Luck, even though he's not signed, in his in where he's going to be at with the Colts, I think a lot of people will look at him as to be a number one draft pick as well. You don't think so, huh?
Are you talking the NFL draft, or are you talking fantasy football draft?
No, I'm talking about fantasy football draft. A lot of people are saying that, hey, that Andrew Luck will be the top fantasy football pick, the number one pick.
No, not by a mile, because of the fact that Andrew Luck first has to get his feet wet in an offense, and he doesn't have nearly the running capability of Cam Newton to score touchdowns on the ground. And Bruce Arians, if you know his offenses, he's got small, speedy guys, likes to go deep and all that stuff. But I just don't see a Mike Wallace on our wide receiver roster, to be honest with you. And that's why basically I'm thinking it's Reggie Wayne and Austin Colley are a little more possession wide receivers. And T.Y. Hilton, yes, he's a rookie. I mean, there's only so much you can invest in a rookie to base the fantasy value of a rookie quarterback. I mean, first he has to get used to the speed of the NFL. And it's not like our schedule is a cupcake schedule either, because we play the AFC East, which is a pretty strong division, and we play the NFC North with the Bears, Packers, and, of course, the Lions, too. So that's why I have my doubts of Andrew Luck going in the first round whatsoever. I mean, as a number two quarterback for a bye week, okay, I will take a flyer on him. But
okay.
not as a number one quarterback.
All right, go ahead, Miles.
I think RG3, Robert Griffin 3, I would have picked him more than Luck, because, I mean, he's going to be running a little bit more than Andrew Luck would be on the ground. But definitely, and Trent Richardson and definitely Cam Newton would be my top three or four.
All right, Josh, are you with us?
Yes.
$2 bill, Josh. What's up, my brother?
Not too much. As far as Andrew Luck being the number one pick, I wondered he would take him in the first round of the fantasy draft. He's a rookie. His offensive line, while it looks to be bigger, may not be better. It's a bunch of retreads that other teams didn't want. And now this might be a prediction. At some point this season, Reggie Wayne and Andrew Luck are going to get into it, because Luck's going to go to Fleener and Collie more than he is Wayne, especially Fleener, because he's familiar with him. So I want to take Luck before the third or fourth round, if that early.
All right, guys, well, we want to move this along, because we've only got 30 minutes, but I tell you what, it is good to be. We're talking fantasy football, guys, preseason fantasy football. Huddle's here. The gang's all back. Axel, $2 bill, Josh, newcomer, Miles, Fork of Banff Magazine. And we're going to do this every Saturday, probably 10:30 to 11. And then as we get into the season, we'll kick it back to 45 minutes. And as racing kicks off, we may even give it an hour. So, you know, the thing about it is, guys, Fantasy Football Huddle, you veterans of the show know, that this is one of our most popular segments. So what I want to do, guys, is talk about some of the comeback kids, as I call them, and what we looked at last year. You know, the conversations that we had in the preseason last year certainly weren't the conversations we were having later on in the year. But we look at some of the comeback kids. I'm going to go through them, and I just kind of want to get you guys' thought on how they're going to perform this year, and where you think that if you would buy, sell, or trade them. And Miles, you're new to the show as far as buy, sell, trade. Basically, buy is you would pick them up. You would sell them. You would never pick them up, because right now we're in preseason, so we'll just say you wouldn't pick them up as to the sell. You would pick them up, but possibly use them as a trade mechanism. So buy, sell, or trade is the option on each of these players, guys. We'll start out with Carson Palmer, 2011, 2,753 yards, 23 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. I think he's in for a bigger and better year out there in Oakland this year. Obviously, I think he's, again, another one of those potential quarterback ones that should be going first and should be one of your starter. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't go over 4,000 yards and, you know, 27 touchdowns this year, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I tell you what, Carson Palmer can put up some serious fantasy numbers, so we'll start with you, Axel. Carson Palmer, buy, sell, or trade?
I would just sell because of the divisions that they play, and I do think that it's going to be they're playing the AFC North and the NFC South in this pretty good potent divisions, and I'm not sold on how many pass attempts he gets with Darren McFadden. And did Michael Bush leave the Raiders?
I'm not totally sure about that.
He might have been signed by the Bears, I think. It all depends. I mean, it's right now, it's like I would pick up Carson Palmer in the middle of the season, but not now because I don't know about the status of Darren McFadden. But I'm not sold on the wide receiver corp of the Raiders with Darius Hayward Bay and Denarius Moore. I mean, I just I'm not sold on them. That's why I feel that Carson Palmer is I would sell. I mean, I would not buy.
All right, Miles, buy, sell, or trade Carson Palmer?
I would sell, exact same reason. I don't think he's got the targets anymore. I think his season is going to be a little bit more tougher, and I think they're going to be figuring him out a little bit more. He was a sleeper last year. This year, no, same way. I'd pick him up in the middle, but this year, off the jump, no. So I'd sell.
Josh, buy, sell, or trade Carson Palmer?
I'm actually going to buy Carson Palmer. I actually think he's going to have more passing yards. He's going to have a full season. They got a new staff in place, and I think he's going to be the quarterback for the AFC West Division champions.
Well, I'm going to buy him. I might end up trading him later on, but I think he certainly has the potential to be a number one quarterback this year. Obviously, we're still looking at the situation, with, as Axel talked about, with Darren McFadden, but he's got some new targets, Darius Moore, Darius Howard, Bay, Ford, and they've got the new rookie out there. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, all right, guys, moving on to quarterback number two here, comeback kid, Philip Rivers. Obviously, San Diego. Last year, he threw for 4,624 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 20 interceptions. Again, this year, I like him, but you know, I think in this particular situation, it might be silly to write him out for 2012. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to sell Carson Palmer. So we'll start with you, Axel. Buy, sell, or trade
with Philip Rivers.
I meant Philip Rivers. I'm sorry, Philip Rivers. Sorry, that's who I meant.
Okay, definitely buy. I don't know. It's just the way the Chargers are wired. When they play the Mannings, they just get pumped up. Okay, because of the Eli Manning days, the Chargers are always pumped up with the Mannings. It seems like this is the shot in the arm that they needed with Peyton Manning signing up in their own division. I don't see Philip Rivers thinking up 2 years in a row. I just do not see it. And they have added Robert Meacham and Eddie Royal, guys who will move the chains other than Antonio Gates, who's been hobbled by injuries, and that's why the intermediate routes have suffered for the Chargers. Now that they have Meacham and Eddie Royal, along with, though they lost Vincent Jackson, he was more of a deep threat that could be played equally well by Floyd. So that is why I feel, because of their new signings and because of the added motivation of having Peyton Manning in their own division, Philip Rivers will know that he doesn't have a luxury of a bad start. No Turner's on the hot seat. So all of those things lead me to believe Philip Rivers is a buy.
All right, Miles, buy, sell, or trade Philip Rivers.
I'm going to buy. I believe in the Chargers this year. I think they're going to have a better season. I think he's going to have some really good opportunities this year. So I'm going to say buy.
All right, Josh, buy, sell, or trade Philip Rivers. And we don't have Josh anymore. Okay. All right, moving on down the list here. He just disappears sometimes. Josh is in his own world sometimes. Running back, Chris Johnson, 2011, 1,047 yards, 4 touchdowns, 57 reception, and 418 yards receiving. And as we were talking about earlier on in the show, depending on your point system, running backs can really be your key player and the ones that you want to go with. I like Chris Johnson a lot. Last offseason, Chris Johnson held out, was a holdout, and you know, big mess out there last year, but I think he's got his act together. I like him this year. I think that he's going to, you know, go for over 1,200 yards rushing. He's probably going to get 8-plus touchdowns. And I would expect him to get close to 400 yards receiving. And, you know, so I got a lot of confidence in Chris Johnson this year. So, and I believe he's one of my keepers in one of my leagues, too. So I'm going to go ahead and buy Chris Johnson. Axel?
I'm going to buy in Chris Johnson, too. Last year was because of the holdout. He missed so much of training camp that he was always behind. And with the lockout and the holdout, it's like too much issues. And that is why I feel that he underperformed last year. And this year, I do think it's going to be better. But I don't think he will get close to 1,500 yards like his previous seasons, but he will break the 1,000-yard mark. He's still a second-round running back to me, but definitely a buy.
All right, Miles, buy, sell, or trade Chris Johnson?
I would trade, and I would try to find somebody who would be willing to believe that he would be worth it, because I do not. I think that he's going to have some major issues this year. There's been a rumor somewhere, and I cannot remember where I read it, maybe you guys can help me, but didn't he suffer some kind of like a minor injury at the end of the season?
I'll have to do my research on that, brother. I'll have to Google it. I'll have to check it out.
I do not think he's going to have that good of a year. So, I mean, if you know, because it's not widely known. I think it was a minor little thing. It was a little snippet. But you know what? I'm going to say trade because I think he's a valuable thing, and I would try to pick somebody else up.
Well, Chris Johnson definitely makes great trade bait. So I think he's got to be on a situation where nobody is going to pass him up. But, yeah, he does make great trade bait. Speaking of trade bait, I think we still got Josh on. And, Josh, you've been officially sad sack when I go to you and you're not there. My goodness. Chris Johnson, buy, sell, or trade, brother.
I'm going to sell just for the fact that I believe I heard Miles talking about him having surgery. I believe he had some type of, I want to say it was minor knee or minor neck surgery, but I do know Chris Johnson had surgery. And if it's his knee, running backs are almost never the same after that. I mean, look at Joe Swift. He was great, had knee surgery, and now he's not so great.
All right, guys, next on the list, running back Javon Best, 2011, 390 yards, 2 touchdowns, 27 receiving yards, 287 yards receiving. I don't like him. I'm going to pass him all the way around. This guy gets hurt. He gets concussions. He's bad news. Don't pick him up. Axel.
Well, I mean, he's definitely a trade bait. To me, it depends on how the because now that Calvin Johnson had his monster season, everybody's going to be zeroing in on him and basically giving the run to the Lions. So basically, I'd probably buy him later. I wouldn't be the seller, but I would be the buyer later, depending on how Calvin Johnson is being played. Because of his monster year, and then he's got his monster contract too. So definitely the Lions are going to be running more, and that's why I believe that Jawad Best production will be better, because teams will choose to concede the run a little more to the Lions. And what I don't know is the health of that Kevin Smith, who came on later in the year for Detroit Lions as a second running back. So that is why I kind of like a wait-and-see approach on this Jawad Best.
All right, Miles, Jawad Best, buy, sell, or trade?
Oh, man, that's a good one. You know, sometimes, I mean, you know, when you were talking about, you know, having a bullseye on your back, and I think it was a fluke. I think this year it's going to be a support system that he does not have. I would definitely use him as trade bait again for the exact same reason. I think last year he had a fluke. I don't think it was a support system. I just think that somehow, somewhere, it just happened. I don't think people were ready for it. This year they will be, so I'd trade him.
All right, Josh, Jawad Best, buy, sell, or trade?
Trade.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick him up at all. I mean, you guys are picking him up for trade bait, and I could see where you would do that, but I'm just going to steer clear of him. I think that he's bad news, and maybe I'm wrong, but you know, my predictions this year haven't been the best, so maybe I am wrong. We're moving over to wide receivers, DeSean Jackson. I like this guy, but even though he had kind of a rough season last year, I look for him to come back, you know, and be one of these sleeper guys. So I like him. I pick him up. And right now I'm going to pick him up as a buy, but I might switch him over to trade bait. But DeSean Jackson last year, 58 receiving yards, 961 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I would expect him to get to over 80 receptions, 1,300 yards receiving. You know, I would expect him to get, you know, 5-6 touchdowns this year. So if not more, and I'm probably being conservative on that number. So Axel, DeSean Jackson.
Oh, definitely a buy, because the contract not being offered by the Eagles played on DeSean Jackson's mind big time. And basically that affected his play. And also the fact that Michael Vick went out injured. And DeSean Jackson is more of a deep threat guy and a punt returner. I mean, with the new kickoff rules, as a kickoff returner, he doesn't have much value. But if your league gives you points for return touchdowns and return yards, as a punt returner, he has a lot of value. And I do think with the renewed contract and no lockout and a full off season, he will develop more chemistry with Vick, just like he developed with McNabb. And that is why I think he's a definite strong buy this year, because the Eagles, the dream team factor or talk has gone. So now it's time to build chemistry. Eagles, I compare them to the Miami Heat. The talent was assembled, but the chemistry wasn't there, and the who has to do what at the critical situation wasn't clearly defined. I think they will build better chemistry on the defensive side especially. And as a result, they'll be able to win more games and possibly win their NFC East division this year. I predict them to do so, and DeSean Jackson will be a big part of it.
All right, Miles, DeSean Jackson, buy, sell, or trade?
Wow, I didn't think I'd hear about the Eagles going all the way this year. I think the Eagles are more like the Rolling Stones, man. I think they're an aging team. Did they really even pick up any new young blood on their roster this year?
Yeah, they did. They got a couple good players, and we'll have Ed Kratz on later on in the season to talk about those. But, yeah, they did. They picked up a couple good players.
Well, I think, you know, it's one of those where I think that, you know, DeSean is only going to be as good as who's going to be handing him the ball or throwing it to him. But I don't think that's going to happen this year. I'm going to say sell.
All right, Josh, buy, sell, or trade DeSean Jackson?
I'm going to have to sell DeSean Jackson. I'm going to take a completely different approach to the Eagles. Not only are they old, if there's any WWE fans or wrestling fans, the Eagles are essentially doing what The Undertaker has done for years. They're winning with nothing more than smoke and mirrors. Michael Vick is not a true quarterback, and he can only win with smoke and mirrors so many times. You know, he's still the quarterback in Philadelphia. That magic carpet ride has got to be about over.
Yep. Okay. All right,
I don't remember them having a magic carpet ride at all, to be honest with you.
I should have queued up that song, Magic Carpet Ride. All right, guys, moving on down the road here. Brandon Marshall, last year, 81 yards receiving, 1,214 yards and 6 touchdowns. Here's the thing about Brandon Marshall. Got a stellar quarterback that was traded to Miami. This guy's a risky move. I think I would pick him up for trade bait. I don't know that I'd keep him. My opinion might change. He's one of my undecideds. But at this moment, I would certainly make him trade bait. Buy, sell, or trade, Axel, Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall with the Bears is different than Brandon Marshall with Matt Moore, who zeroed in on him. That's a big difference. Matt Forte accounted for almost 60% of their offense, and Matt Forte will still account for probably 50% of their offense, either with checkdowns or running the ball. So I'm just hesitant to think that Brandon Marshall will nearly get as many looks as he did with inexperienced Matt Moore. Jay Cutler has the arm to just spread it around, so if he needs to. So with Earl Bennett and Johnny Knox and all those guys improving in the wide receiver experience last year, I do not think Brandon Marshall will get the same number of looks and touches. So he is a sell at this point.
All right. Miles, buy, sell, or trade Brandon Marshall?
I would buy. Oh, I would buy this guy. He would be a low-end number one, maybe a high number two for me in the draft. But, look, you know, it's called chemistry. Chemistry. And Jay Cutler and, you know, and Marshall is like the Reggie Wayne and, you know, the Manning. It's a chemistry. He's going to be a top pick for Cutler this year. So watch. I don't think that his touches and receiving is going to go down. I think it's going to go up. That guy is actually my sleeper pick. And I'm not liking that you guys are picking him out now. I am, and I would choose him.
All right, Josh, real quickly, Brandon Marshall, buy, sell, or trade. Josh.
Boy. Josh is like you around like 1 o'clock in the morning at the bar. You're there, but you just don't want to talk.
I was saying I would buy Brandon Marshall. I think he's going to have a huge year. Unfortunately, I got to run, but I'm going to have a blog coming out on Tuesday. So.
All right, we'll check it out. All right, guys, we're getting close to the wrap-up time here. We got just a little under 4 minutes left. So real quickly, Axel, and we got to make it quick so we can get everybody in. Fantasy advice, what are your plans? What are your thoughts? Do you the running back draft style? Do you draft with the quarterback first? Real quickly, what is your strategy on draft day, Axel?
Well, I can talk both sides too. Because of the lockout, defenses didn't have time to put in all their schemes. That explained a lot of why Cam Newton's success too. And a lot of quarterbacks went over 4,000 yards, and a couple of them went over 5,000 yards. That is not going to happen this year. You can book that down. So that is why it's kind of like overrating the quarterbacks can be a dangerous thing. But like I said, if it is 4 points for a passing touchdown, it would be different than 6 points for a passing touchdown. That will determine whether you take the quarterback early. Running back like Ray Rice and Arian Foster would still be the more safer bets at the top.
All right, Miles, real quickly, you got 60 seconds. Your strategy for draft day?
You know, like you said at the beginning, it's about your points. You know, it's depending upon, you know, how your league is particularly set up. I think this year is going to be a running back season, not a quarterback season. So definitely my strategy would probably be for running back before I would go for the quarterback first.
Well, my strategy is always draft a punter first, or defense.
Hey, and another thing, I mean, an elite tight end is as good as a wide receiver. So if it is Gronkowski or Graham, so don't be afraid to pull the plug on them in round three.
Good point. Well, guys, we're going to do this again next Saturday. Be here or be queer. Is that what they say? Or be square? Or I'm just kidding. It's Saturday morning, next Saturday morning, 10:30 in the morning, guys. Be ready for Fantasy Football Huddle. Miles, Axel, and maybe Josh. All right, guys, you guys have yourself a good weekend, and stay hydrated today.
All right, man.
All right.
I cannot get any more hydrated than you were last night. That was a floaty if I've ever seen one, man, I'm telling you.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good week and stay cool today. I tell you what, guys, it is fantastic to have Fantasy Football Huddle back. I'm going to tell you what a great time we have here on Fantasy Football. The Balance. I want to thank all my guests for just stopping by today. Josh Zimmerman, Rich Nye, Jay Gray, Fantasy Football guys. It's been a great, guys, being with you. We will see you next week. Remember, don't drink and drive. It's not cool.
Me, me.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, a gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you? That's all, folks.